Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. In this week's program, we're going to learn about coffee. And that's because I got a press release in the mail from Sinani, the original Mocha Coffee. And before you think that's chocolate flavored coffee, you're going to need to listen to the program to find out what it really means. Before I go further, let me thank our sponsors for the Zimcast, and that includes Novus International, a leader in animal health and nutrition for the poultry, beef, aqua, dairy, and pork markets, as well as Leica Geosystems. When it has to be right, you need to go to agguidance.com. So in this week's program, we're going to talk about coffee. And I did that over the phone with Tarek Ossoff. He is the founder and president of Sinani, the original Mocha Coffee. Tarek, it's great to talk to you.
Well, great to talk to you too, Chuck.
Well, you've got a brand of coffee called Sinani, and we're going to get into that in a moment and talk about the coffee itself. But first of all, why don't you give me a little bit of background on yourself and how you got involved in this company with selling coffee?
Well, interestingly, my background isn't with coffee. I was a computer engineer. I graduated from Auburn University back in 1989, and after about 18 or 19 years sitting behind a computer and programming telecommunications, I thought I'd start a coffee shop, actually, not necessarily a coffee company. And as I did my research on what's the best coffee to source, because I didn't want to really source it from anybody else, I wanted to bring it myself. And the more I looked at different coffees available around the world, the more I realized that coffee from Yemen is considered one of the finest, and not just now, but for the last, you know, few hundred years. And so looking at sourcing it, I realized it was quite expensive. And to source coffee for a, you know, a cafe that is that expensive usually becomes cost prohibitive. So I figured since I want to bring it in, I might as well just change my business plan and turn around and make it like a product and sell the product itself to those who, you know, who really love coffees and those who are, you know, accustomed to the best life I've ever. So I went out there and commissioned the design of a box and a name and a website and started importing the coffee. And it's been about 3 years, and that's where we are.
Wonderful. Well, the brand Sinani and the tagline, the original Mocha Coffee, what caught my attention first off was getting the news release that you all sent out, that it said intense flavor without the nerve-jangling buzz. And, you know, I'm all about the flavor. I think the caffeine is important. But, you know, my favorite coffee, I can't really drink that much of because it does have such a high level of caffeine in it. So that got my attention. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this product from that standpoint?
Well, it's a good question. Actually, what happens is that the way this coffee is actually cultivated and produced, it's a very, very high altitude, and actually the cultivating environment is quite harsh, and it's got low water, and they don't use any chemicals because it's pretty much impossible to get those chemicals up to those levels in poor countries like that. And I think even though the caffeine content for the Yemeni coffee is considered factually some of the lowest in caffeine. And I wouldn't say scientifically, but I would assume it's because of the fact of the way it's grown and its altitude that gives it its low caffeine level content. Although these are Arabica beans, and therefore the flavor is fantastic. And actually also each, I don't know if this is going into a different area, but each of these, each season has a separate harvest, and each harvest they even roast the beans slightly differently based on the harvest, based on the weather, based on everything. And also the longer you roast some of these coffees, the lower the caffeine content by volume. This is something interesting that actually a lot of people think that darker coffees might be higher in caffeine. It might have a stronger taste because of the burnt flavor, but not because it's actually higher in caffeine.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. So with this coffee, I could say drink a cup of it, and maybe I can go ahead and have a second cup. I mean, give me a little, at least an approximation of how it would compare to what we here in America kind of look at as normal, regular Robusto bean type coffee for caffeine.
As in the comparative caffeine content?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. It would vary, obviously, on which kind of coffee and which kind of blends we're using, because some blends might even mix a little bit of Robusto, a little bit of Arabica. But if you were just taking, you know, purely Robusta, you know, the Robusta and then purely Arabica and then Yemeni coffee, you might even be looking at maybe 1 to 3 or 1 to 2, definitely.
Okay.
At the extreme ranges, if you wanted to compare that. But there's such a big range, you know, there's so many coffees, so many blends. But most definitely, the Arabica beans from Yemen have the lowest caffeine content.
Well, I know that I have some on the way, so I'm looking forward to sampling myself and figured that what I would do is probably let people know about this and hear our interview, and then I'll do a follow-up once I have a chance to try it myself.
Sure. It's interesting. I often talk to a lot of people, and when they say, oh, mocha, they say, oh, no, we don't like flavored chocolate coffee. And I have to kind of do a little, education in some sense. And I say, well, you know where the word mocha comes from? And they go, well, no. And I go, well, it's a city in Yemen called Mocha. And they go, no kidding me. And you're like, yep. And then I try to explain to them that the first coffees ever to actually reach Paris and reach Europe is actually this particular coffee from Yemen. And they go, no, really? I'm like, yeah. And then what happened is back in the 16th century when the coffee was first introduced in Europe, it was actually called mocha because it was from the port of Mocha. And so it's not really a chocolate coffee concoction. So most people come to the website, they immediately see mocha and they go, no, I'm on the wrong site. I'm not looking for a chocolate flavored coffee. I want some single origin, you know, exquisite coffee. So, you know, this might be an interesting thing for your listeners to know that even though it's called the original mocha coffee, mocha has nothing to do with adding chocolate syrup to it.
Right.
It's not a flavored coffee.
Right. No, that's a good point. I was definitely interested in what that meant if this isn't a chocolate coffee.
right, exactly. And there is, historically, there is a lot of people write back and they say, yeah, you know, we do sense a very faint, a very undertone from chocolate. And that is true. That exists in there, except if I overplay that, then people actually will say, well, wait a minute, I didn't taste the chocolate in there. I'm like, well, you weren't really supposed to. It's supposed to be really subtle, if at all. Because, you know, each person has his own taste buds, and they see things or taste things that some may not. So I try to downplay the chocolatey flavor of it just to make sure that people don't expect it to be strongly chocolate.
So when you market this coffee, what are the options we have as far as how we purchase it or what form it comes in?
Well, at this point in time, it's online only, and the customers can order it. At least there's 4 ways that's on the website. They can order it whole beans and grind it to their preference. They can order it a medium grind for the regular drip coffee maker, and then we can do a course for like a French press for those who are into the French press. And then in the comments section, if they actually want to order it slightly different, you know, even further, like Turkish or any kind of special order, because we grind these beans only after somebody orders them. So if they wanted a very fine grind, they could just put in the comment section, oh, by the way, you know, we would like a Turkish grind as opposed to just espresso, because we also have espresso as one of the choices. But if they want it even finer, we can do that. If they want it even coarser, we can do that. But most people pretty much fall within the four options, and they get it online. We do serve in some of the, like, one of the restaurants in Dallas, because, you know, we are based here in Dallas, in Plano.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a very nice upscale restaurant that'll serve it, but that's about the only outlet currently that the coffee is available at.
Well, one thing I would be interested in, if I buy whole beans, for example, because I want to grind them myself, I know I get asked this question, I'm curious myself. What's the best way to store those? Like, how long should I expect them to be okay? And what method should I use when I get my beans?
Most definitely, that's an excellent question. And I think the most common answer that you'll find is, keep it in a fridge or a freezer, for that matter, if you're going to keep it that long. But that's not, I really personally don't think that's really true. You can keep it at room temperature, right, you know, right inside your pantry. At least the packets that we have, they have like a one-way gas valve. So like when you open it, you take the coffee out, you make your coffee, then just zip it back up and press it a little bit, get the air out of there because it's on like a one-way valve. And it pretty much stays fresh for months.
Okay.
And that to me, I mean, especially if it's in beans for sure. Because when you grind them, that's really, you know, as you grind a bean, the surface area of the granules that are as a result have more surface area. Therefore, it will lose its smell and its aroma and, you know, over time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're storing it as beans, that's just, you know, the best way anyway. So.
Well, let's quickly tell people where they need to go to place their order. And I know that you said online, and so I'm looking at the website, which is sanani.com, and I'll spell that out, sanani.com.
Yeah.
Now, let's see, what else might people be interested to know about your product that we didn't touch on here?
Well, as they reach the website, I mean, I guess price is sometimes a sore point sometimes. But the thing, though, is that I needed the customers to know that actually even in the green coffee market, and that's why, you know, I had mentioned earlier that I had to change my business plan completely and not bring it in as a coffee served in a cafe, was because even in the green coffee market, this coffee is very expensive for a couple of reasons, because the way this coffee is purchased by farmers is kind of almost opposite to what people might know as fair trade. You know, fair trade is when there's an artificially set price, and coffee companies who claim to be fair trade compliant will have to meet that minimum amount of money to be paid for a pound of coffee, for example, or a kilo of coffee. But the way the Yemeni coffee works is kind of almost what I often use the term open trade. It's the other way around, where they basically set the price for their coffee. And the reason they do that is, first of all, they have limited production, so they almost know that the fact that there is a demand in the world for that particular kind of coffee, and thus they say, well, for this season, we're going to price it this much. And most of the times, it's about 2 to 3 times more than the average coffee on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's organic, and that's another thing that people love a lot, because, you know, it's got no chemicals. It's, you know, it's way up there, you know, at 7,000 feet. They just can't get the chemicals up there, and they just can't afford it. It's a poor country. So in some sense, you know, even due to the fact that it's a poor country, they seem to be ahead of the curve from the organic standpoint, not because they're trying hard, because they just don't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have the same cultivation methods they did 400 years ago, so they've kind of kept it that way and stays that way.
Interesting. Well, good point. And also, I noticed on the website you have a coffee club, so you can basically join and have a regular supply coming your way then.
Yeah. And it's cheaper that way, because then there's no shipping on it. So if they, for example, say, okay, for 6 months, send us a box, then they get a freshly ground box if they want it ground, or a fresh box every month, and there's no shipping on it. They just pay the actual cost of, you know, what the coffee might have cost if they had purchased it, you know, separately.
Okay.
So in some sense, it's, you know, they don't have to worry about logging in every time and trying to order it every month. It's just automatic and, you know, works well for the customer because they don't have to be shipping on it.
Okay.
Works well for us because it allows us to, you know, gauge the demand
right,
as we go forward, you know.
How, if you can make a comment about that, you said you've been doing this for a couple of years. How has the business grown? What is your demand like, and how do you feel like looking out in the short term, you know, for the future?
Well, it's interesting. It's been pretty consistent for the last 3 years. You have to realize that the whole idea behind this was, because it was expensive coffee to start with, I had to create more of a luxury brand, as people may call it, as opposed to a regular brand. Now, my timing might not have been perfect because, you know, with the economy the way it is, luxury brands sometimes hurt more. But it's interesting that now that the business has picked up, I realize that it's not necessarily only people who are, you know, affluent or something like that. It's like I've had people across the board buy it, some because they just love it so much, some because they like the whole story behind it. And it's really, I guess, beyond my expectations that this business has turned out very well for me.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to get to talk to you, Tarek, and glad we were able to work that out in our schedules.
No, thanks a lot, Chuck. I really appreciate you working in with me.
Well, I will point people your way. Look forward to trying it myself, and hope maybe we'll have a follow-up conversation once I get to experience that and learn a little bit more.
Thank you, Chuck. Thanks a lot.
Look for more on coffee coming to you from AgWire.com and in probably a future Zimcast. And since we're talking about coffee, I am going to close the program this week with some music from Music Alley. This is a song titled Smell the Coffee by Chris Crowder. I hope you enjoy it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.